Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mean Green Nation podcast. How are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning? I would say life is a little bit sweeter after Mean Green win, and today is yet another data point. Yes? Yes?
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up, I was like, man, I feel good today because North Texas won. Ladies and gentlemen, last night UAB came to Denton, and our Mean Green Fighting Eagles got the win, 46-43, in a game that felt weird. I mean, look, I don't like to look at things and kind of filter them through like what I expect, like my own personal lens. You know what I mean? Because that's silly. However, I watched a lot of college football games. I've watched a lot of football games in my lifetime. Is that something to be proud of? I don't know. It's the case. And so I was watching that game, and I never felt like North Texas was in real danger, which I know is silly to say. But it like felt like a blowout, but it wasn't a blowout. And even when UAB scored the game tying touchdown, I felt like North Texas is going to win this thing. However, I had the slightest twinge of holy hell right when UAB scored, because I was like, they're going to go for two and win this thing. And I'm going to feel like, what? What the hell happened? How did you feel about that ending once you found out what happened?
So, yeah, I had to leave a little bit early from the game because I had the kids.
Yeah.
And we were two scores up. And by the time I got out of the stadium, we were only one score up. By the time I got in the car, we were tied. So it was a little bit frustrating because North Texas also felt the same way you did, where they felt comfortable with the win.
Yeah.
And I felt that they kind of let off the gas, both on offense and on defense. I saw some, I don't know if it was due to injury or if it was game script, but I started seeing backups on offense.
Yeah.
That I hadn't seen before. And I was wondering if they were just dialing it in, thinking they had this in the bag. And yeah, it just didn't feel like they were attacking the same way.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't. So North Texas in the second half, I think, was like 0-5 on third downs, and we're like 6-8 in the first half. And so you kind of like, I don't know if that was, you know, good coaching by Bill Clark at UAB, or was it, you know, like North Texas taking a foot off the gas. Like, I really don't know. It's kind of hard to tell, and I don't really know how to feel about this game. Like, I'm waking up feeling like we blew them out, and I know it's a 3-point win, only a 3-point win. And so I feel like, you know, should we feel worse about that? I don't know. We also have to consider the fact that North Texas is still in the building process. We can't analyze them. We can't look at them and criticize them like a completed product, you know? Like, if Alabama did that, you'd be like, what's wrong with Alabama? What's going on? You know, it's not Alabama. North Texas is still just a season and four games away from you know, coming off a 1-11 year. So perspective, I guess, context, you know, is that what is your guttiest gut feeling about the whole situation?
That our offense outscored UAB and that's why we won.
Yeah. And that's, you know what, hey, that was what we were hoping that this North Texas team was going to be when we got Seth Luttrell, Graham Harrell, and an air raid offense, right? Isn't that what we hoped for?
Yeah, and that's what I expected still this season. I mean, the offense is blowing away all of my expectations, and the defense is about right there. Let me change that. It's about right there in general, but I was expecting the pass defense to be clutch and the rush defense to be suspect. Our weakest. Yeah. And it's quite the opposite.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that it's like the things about last season are like tweaked. Last year we were better on first and second and poor on third, but we came up with enough to produce an overall decent defense. Now we're like really stellar on first and second and absolutely horrible on third. And I don't know what to do about it because it's the same guys out there. I saw, everybody kind of saw that Nate Brooks got smoked twice. They're getting him on double moves, and I don't know if that's something they saw in film session where they're like, you know what, Nate Brooks is aggressive, overly so, and he likes to sit on routes, and then you can beat him over the top once you do that. Or if they're like, we stumbled upon this and it was working, let's do it 8 more times. I don't know.
I will defend him on one of those. The second time he got smoked before the play, because I was sitting in the behind the goalpost. Before that play, Muhammad and Brooks were arguing about who needed to be where up until the snap, and so I think they got caught off in a miscue.
Yeah.
And that's how Brooks got beat on that one. But he's got to be ready to go.
Yeah.
And that's why he got benched.
Yeah. So he got set, and in came in Eric Jenkins, who was a little, like, injured, right? I think that was kind of the story. He had something going on with him. We expected it was going to be Nate Brooks and Eric Jenkins as the two corners. And here we are with Eric Jenkins in Nate Brooks' spot and Keymon Hall in Eric Jenkins' spot on the field. And Eric Jenkins came in and played well. He had two pass breakups. UAB, you know, they didn't really have time to switch up their game plan there, and they decided to keep going with what was working. They chucked it up to their dude, but Eric Jenkins got two pass breakups in the brief time he was out there, and looking like the Eric Jenkins that we saw last season, who led the team in interceptions.
Yeah, he played lights out for those few minutes, and he also got a run stop, kept a run going to the outside. He did a good job on that.
Yeah, so, I mean, UAB really didn't show too much passing coming into this week. They looked like they were relying on the run game. They passed when they had to pass, but, you know, they were going to throw it to Andre Wilson. You didn't really know what they could do. He only had 8 catches up to that point in 3 games. And in this one, he showed out. What did I say? 5 catches, 141 yards, and a couple scores. It was – all of it was ridiculous. Like, again, because I felt like this was all a really good effort by North Texas. It, you know, so let's kind of go through the whole game, I guess. Starts out, UAB drives straight down the field. And we're kind of like, oh, maybe we can't handle the run game. It was a solid drive by UAB. They came out with a game plan. They executed it. They scored. Okay. North Texas comes down. They kick a field goal. And I don't know. I was, like I said, I was eating chicken that I had prepared. I was out there grilling. And so then I was enjoying, and I was not going to tweet about it. But I said afterwards, this is what I kind of was scared about. Like, if UAB can play their game, control the clock and force North Texas to make a couple mistakes here and there, and then like have to sit on those mistakes, basically like Iowa did, right? You have 3 chances to score. North Texas says, I don't know if we can score on all 3. You know, we need probably like 5 chances because we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot a couple times. So, but then quickly North Texas got an interception. They got a 3-and-out. Was it 3-and-out? Or they forced a punt. And, you know, they capitalized on all those situations. And lo and behold, we're playing North Texas football. It's a North Texas football game. Up and down the field, UAB is going to be forced to pass. And I'm feeling good about that because, again, I don't know if UAB wants to do that. And therefore, we feel good about everything. Yeah? Yeah? Is that about what you saw?
Yeah. I think the defense had needed a minute to adjust when they finally tightened it up, because UAB was at 49 yards rushing up until the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Up until the last 2 drives, so they were solid, but UAB took advantage of the pass defense and put up 321 yards.
Yeah, it's like they didn't really do very much different than like SMU did. Remember, I was tweeting during the game. I was like, SMU's whole offense is throw it up to Cortland Sutton, guys. Because North Texas was like sitting on them. They were sitting on all the passes and just getting beat over the top. Just like first and second down, winning. Third down, dying. And this is exactly what happened. I think I don't have it in front of me, but I in the game recap I was talking about, I listed all of UAB's big passes, and like three or four of them came on third down. It was like a 3rd and 5, 50-yard gain. 3rd and 8, 70-yard gain, whatever it was. How do you stop that? How do you stop that other than saying maybe we switch up our entire defensive philosophy? I don't know.
What helped us a lot, I feel, during some of those third downs was UAB's discipline. They were getting a lot of holding calls, ineligible man downfield. That was helping us out a lot. And then what we were helping them out was all the turnovers. I think Wilson dropped the ball twice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, again, my going to my point about, like, shooting ourselves in the foot. Wait, who dropped the ball? You're talking about, like, on offense, right?
Jeff Wilson. On offense, yeah.
Yeah, like, so one of the things I've been saying, right, is that we're not super consistent. We're explosive. We're moving the ball, but we're not super consistent offensively. You look at Jeff Wilson, you said fumbled the ball twice. One was iffy. One was maybe not, I don't know what happened there. But the other was a clear fumble because his strength is his weakness, you know. He's going to battle for the ball. He's going to, you know, try to win everything, and sometimes he fumbles. Those are the two knocks on him. He gets injured, and he fumbles. Whatever. We blocked the kick. We fumbled the ball, right? We gave it right back to him. Like, those are the kinds of things that a good team, when we can say this team is a good team, that they take advantage of. Like, where the announcers are like, oh, you can't give a team like North Texas the ball more times than that because they're going to make you pay for it, right? When they start resorting to those genericisms, that's when we know we're a good team. Like, right now, it's like, who knows what North Texas is going to do with it? They could score. They also could do a strip sack, and then, you know, the other team runs all the way back. That's very possible. I think somebody tweeted that, something similar to that. They're like, this feels like a very North Texas game, the way we were blowing that 16-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
Did it feel
those
like
opportunities?
That?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. What my feelings were is that if we were going up against a more disciplined team,
yeah,
we would have lost this game. And you know, we've got to tighten the bolts. We're two seasons in Latrell's offense, and these most of these guys are sophomores. We keep forgetting how young this team is, and I think, you know, next year and the year after, we're going to be pretty consistent, pretty solid. This year is a very much a show me what you got, let's see what we can do, and please let's get Wilson over 1,000 yards kind of season.
Yeah, and one of the benefits of playing in Conference USA is that kind of season can mean a really productive season. Like, if you take North Texas last year and put them in any other conference, except in the Sun Belt, we probably could have won some games there. You drop them in any other conference, and we don't win as much. Such was the terribleness of the Conference USA slate that we had last year, or just our whole schedule. I mean, we caught Army at the right time. There, a lot of teams with weaknesses, and that's good and bad, yeah, because you're like, this is terrible football we're watching. Yes, but you know, it's the good part is that we get to win those games, and we get to go to a bowl game, and they count as much as Alabama beating whoever in the hell they play. So this season is a super winnable season. Like, we caught UAB at the perfect time. You know, like, next year UAB is going to be really good. Like, you could see there already, they're a really tough team. Like you said, they're well coached. They play hard. And other teams would have gave up. Like, UTEP gives up in that game. Rice probably gives up. UAB doesn't give up. They play hard. They still believe they're playing for something. And then ODU is in a down year, right? Last year, they were going to be a tough team to play. This year, not so great. You know, we're lucky this season. I want to enjoy that luck because I feel like we're going to get a lot of these teams, you know, a year or two down the road, and they're going to be a lot tougher than they are now. That said, we gotta do better in this game. I was hoping for a blowout, and it felt like a blowout. It was mostly a blowout. But yeah, that defense, man, that's gonna be trouble. It makes me look down the schedule that I just spoke about talking about how soft it was, and kind of look at Southern Miss. Like, I was thinking that's going to be maybe a 50, like 60-40. North Texas would probably have a game if. But now I'm looking at that, and like, apparently Quadra Griggs can throw the ball better than Keon Howard, which, okay. But even Keon Howard was able to attack North Texas' defense. You might remember that game. North Texas goes up by like, how was it, 21-something, and then they allowed Southern Miss to come back in the game, and then it was kind of tough late. And Nate Brooks got a big interception on while guarding Alonzi Staggers, their number one wideout.
A big dude.
Yeah, so, you know, we felt good about that. That was like, well, if that, like, that was some luck last year. If that was Nick Mullins out there, you know, things are different. So now we go to Hattiesburg, and I don't feel as good about that considering the defense. I feel like we can score with them, and this is our idea of the team. We talked about this previously, like last year, again on this podcast. The way this team is designed is to score and force you to pass the ball. You're wanting to, you know, score at the same pace, and our defensive design is to blow that up, to get interceptions, to attack the quarterback. Right now, that's not working because our corners, defensive backs, are getting beat, and so we're just in a shootout. That's it. That's all we have is a shootout.
Yeah, we're forcing these teams to play, I mean, to pass, and that's our biggest weakness.
Yeah, like, okay, we'll pass. I mean, again, so, like, I still feel good about everything, but then I'm looking at that, I'm like, I didn't think Erdley could, you know, I didn't pencil him in for 341 yards and four touchdowns. And then you look at those plays, like, the way they had, it wasn't like he was slicing the defense up and just, you know, standing tall and, you know, carving them up, finding the pockets in the zones. He just saying, look, look, my guy's wide ass open. Let me throw him the ball. And here it is. Or, I mean, Keymon Hall even got beat on one that got called back against their dude. Was it Rogers or something like that? Roberts? I forget his name. But, yeah, they just chucked it up. Keymon Hall got beat. It was another double move. He tried to reach for the ball. It was kind of a juggle. Their dude got it, took it to the house. Luckily, that was called back. But that was all pretty terrible. So I don't know. There's, I don't like to point fingers. I don't want to say, well, it's all Nate Brooks' fault, because I don't think so. If the pass rush gets there a little bit more often, then that's not necessary. It's not necessary to have to, you know, stop a guy one-on-one. But I mean, I don't know.
Our pass rush was getting there pretty darn often. That quarterback was getting hit in the face all you know, every other play nearly. Mm-hmm. It's the cornerbacks have to do a better job in coverage. Yeah. I think that's just the thing. We're doing what we need to do in the front, and the defensive backs just need to do their job.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I mean, they have to. They need to. All right, so that said, UAB did a good job stopping UAB's run game. They only had 74 yards for the game, and they came in leading the conference at something like 265. And they did it against varied competition, Coastal Carolina, Ball State, and Alabama A&M. Like, you're kind of, again, it's hard to rate UAB. You're like, are they just an FCS startup? Are they like an existing team? You know, like, they have component parts of both, of like, they're like a super FCS team, like FCS All-Star team, JUCO All-Star team. I don't know. I mean, it's all kind of weird. Their freshman back, he was good. Spencer Brown, right? I think he's going to be some trouble as he goes through his career at UAB. I don't like them in our division, man. I'm kind of annoyed that UAB is going to be in Conference USA West.
It'll be fun. I think, especially after this week, I think I'm going to be looking forward to playing them every year.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's another team. What I like about them is, like, their fan base. Is that, you know, we're having some fun on Twitter and, you know, talking some mess. But they are smart fans. They're a bunch of smart fans over there. They got, like, smart interneters, which is great. I like to see that. You know, I feel like if I just had to rank my favorite Conference USA West fan bases to interact with on the Twitters, it's something like UAB up number one. UTEP, believe it or not, just because I like their site, Minor Rush. And then everybody else. And I think I dislike the UTSA people the most. They're just, like, aggressively ignorant. Like, at least the ones I interact with, you know. They like, purposely misread what I write. And somewhere in the middle is Southern Miss. They were, you know, they're fun, too. But that, I think that's just my unofficial ranking. I don't know. Do you have a preference of fan bases that you'd like to go against?
I mean, UAB immediately jumped up to the top. And same. We've only been interacting with them for like a week.
Yeah, I mean, and, which says a couple things about our division, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, you don't know anybody from Rice. I personally haven't interacted anybody from UTEP.
Yeah, I mean, UTEP has like a core group of guys that are really smart and really they follow the program. They're passionate about it. But they're in a down couple of years, and so you don't really hear anybody else talking about it. Like, nobody's going to be like, oh, man, we're going to beat you. They're like, yeah, we're going to lose. We're going to lose. It's going to be bad. And that was my kid bringing me a cinnamon roll, so that's great. Yeah, and, like, was it UTSA? They had a little bit of that chip on their shoulder kind of thing. But I don't know. They're just known a couple, some UTSA fans are good, but I'm talking about the internet fans that you interact with that tweet at you, and you're like, God, why are you tweeting? Why hasn't somebody like blocked, like, shut this down? And so I blocked a few.
Yeah, and you know, on Twitter, the ones that will actively seek out opponents are the ones that probably, you know, are not representative of UTSA, but yeah. Those are the only ones you ever deal with, and so you have a. They're so annoying.
Yeah, the aggressively stupid tweets. Yeah, so I mean, so how does the UAB fit in that? They're just tweeting about their stuff, right? They're like, here's our stuff, we're analyzing our team. You know, they're kind of like the MeanGreenNation.com or the GoMeanGreen.com of their stuff. And so I will follow that. I will totally follow somebody that cares about their team and is passionate about their team and write some good stuff. It helps me, the opponent fan, understand the team a little bit better. And anyway, it's a long way with a scenic detour of insults to other fans to say that I like the UAB.
They know who they are, and they're having fun with it.
Yeah, that's cool. Still wish we would have blown them out, but I'm going to be looking at UAB and kind of rooting for them the rest of the way. I think they're gonna be fun, and maybe they might beat somebody. Yeah, they'll beat somebody that's not expecting to play a tough team. Just kind of looking at a division, they can beat Rice, they can beat UTEP, and if UTSA and Southern Miss are not ready for them, they can get beat. I mean, anybody can get beat in this division in this conference because it's, you know, like I said, it's not super strong, and also it's college football.
Yeah, and the last thought I want to have with the UAB game is that I'm happy that we're not talking about moral victories this week. We're talking about a literal victory, even though it was not the way we wanted to get there in the end.
Yeah,
I'm just glad we won.
Yeah, just speaking of moral victories, I saw the Daily Dragon tweet out their little post-game recap, and you know they're doing the moral victory stuff right now, which is cool. And let them have it. I'd rather them have the moral victories than us. We're talking about actual victories. I totally will take a weird, maybe even frustrating win. Win than not. And that's what that was. So let's go through some of the numbers real quick, if you please. Jeff Wilson, 211 yards rushing, was just so dominant. And, like, SMU, for whatever reason, shut him down. But he's been running free against Iowa. He ran free against UAB and obviously against Lamar. I think the last two teams we can point to and say, what were y'all doing? How come y'all didn't look at what SMU did, whatever it was that they did, and do the same thing? Because surely they were looking at Jeff Wilson circling him, saying, "We got to stop this guy. We got to slow him." What like, what's happening? Why? I don't mind that they're allowing them to run free through gigantic holes, but he's doing it. How long can it last, man?
The one interesting thing that I noticed is that Jeffrey Wilson only got one reception. They put him in one screen pass.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like it's a different game script. Before they were, like last year especially, past 2 years, they've been extensively putting him in the passing game, and I think that's a indication of how good our passing game has been and how much trust we were putting in our current receiving core.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm in the middle right now of writing a post, just a bunch of things I noticed about the offense, just numerically. And one of the things that we've been able to do, like Mason Fine's been great. I think 3 of the 4 games this season have exceeded his average total last year or something like that. He's been amazing. I think he's at 8.7 yards per attempt. Last year was at 6. He's thrown for 9 touchdowns. Last year, all year, he threw for 6. He's at 1,076 total yards this season, and last year he was at like 1,500 or something. Everything's great. Everything's amazing. He leads the conference. I think I tweeted this out in like yards per attempt or something, or yards. He's like 3rd in completion percentage. He leads them in touchdowns. He's doing great, right? And that does help the run game. And we talked about this, me and Greg, before last season, that when you're looking at like this type of offense or these kinds of things, the run opens up the pass opens up the run, you know, like this is just common knowledge. If a team doesn't think you can throw the ball, they're not going to really defend you from throwing the ball. They're going to just try to stop what they think you can do. And to Jeff Wilson's credit, in the last year, we couldn't throw the ball, and yet he still put up big numbers. This year, we were able to throw the ball. Like, you look at, you know, Guyton. The answer to my question was, like, why was Jeff Wilson able to get free? It's because they didn't trust us to throw the ball. They're daring us to do it. And once we showed that it was possible that we can throw the ball, like, we're looking at Jalen Guyton going down there, they're like, okay, let's take a couple steps back. And Jeff Wilson runs free again. When you got to double cover a guy, that means one less dude in the box, right? That's the roundabout way of describing things. I mean, on a given play, in a given drive, they're more like fine-tuned details and things that are happening. But generally speaking, yeah, because we can throw the ball, and because we can throw the ball deep to number 9, and or just that threat is there, that Jeff Wilson has, you know, even if it's 5 extra yards to run, you can see what he can do with that 5. He can turn that into 50. And he's been great. That 34-yard run, that's something I would have run in a video game, because I'm like, this is our best player. Let me spread him out, hand the ball off to our best dude, because he's going to get us a lot of yards. And he won the game. There's so much to talk about this game, that Jeff Wilson had a clutch run, and we're just like, yeah, that was a good run, solid game, way to win. 211 yards. We're like, that was a good win.
Good job. Good effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, you know, Jeffrey Wilson's leading the conference in touchdowns, I believe, but quite a bit. Let's see. Jalen Guyton's average yards per reception is at 23, which is number 2 in the conference. And he's leading the conference with 4 touchdowns.
Yeah. And
tied for first.
Yeah. It feels like he's more involved in every game than he is. He's always like at 2 catches for like 40 yards and a score. I mean, against Iowa, I felt like he was involved a lot. He had 1 catch, 13 yards. I'd really like to see him get the ball 5 times a game. You know, like, I really like to see that can happen. We don't have to force it, but I just like to see what's going to happen when they start clicking. Because there was, like, a couple miscues there where, like, Guyton was going one way and Fine expecting him to go the other.
Yeah, and I mean, Fine isn't afraid to go deep. I know a lot of people want us to go deep, and we have been going deep. And sometimes I feel like, man, just take what's open underneath. And then the guy catches it 40 yards downfield. I'm like, all right, fine. Just I'll take it.
I see where you're playing quarterback. yeah, he's 2nd in the conference in yards per attempt at 8.7. By the way, Dalton Stern from UTSA is at 9.8, but he's thrown like 17 less passes. And Quadra Griggs. I'm never going to get that right. Is at 8.4 yards attempt. That's our next dude. He has 7 touchdowns against 1 interception, speaking of. Mason Fine is second in the conference in QB rating. We throw the ball quite a lot. He's first in yards per game, and he's like third in completion percentage, 63%. He's first in, he's second in completions. Good stuff by the offense. Like, everything, the offense is just way ahead of where it was last season. We can actually throw the ball, and that has really opened up for Jeff Wilson, who was amazing last night. The city moved into fifth all-time.
Did he? I missed that stat. Yeah. But I wanted to make a correction on Mason Fine and Dalton Sturm. Mm-hmm. Dalton Sturm has attempted 56 less passes.
What?
Dalton Sturm has completed 56 less passes. I mean, sorry, attempted 56 less passes.
What did I say? Oh, I was talking about the completion.
17. Yeah. Which is 14 fewer passes per game.
Yeah. Mason Fine's throwing the ball a lot, throwing the ball down the field, and getting completions. Like, this is good. This is really, really good. And one thing I had, because, some people were going to say, well, wouldn't he just, like, padding his stats when we were playing SMU, right? That's when he's... It was like 296 yards and 3 touchdowns when we were down by 15. So you're like, well, that just stat padding there, buddy. But in the plus and minus 7 and tied, he's thrown for 433 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's good. That's good. Like, it's basically, yeah, when we're down, we have to throw a lot. Yeah, he threw it for touchdowns and lots of yards, which is what you want, right? That's a good number. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, what about when it's tied or, the game's on the line? Yeah, 400 yards and 2 touchdowns. Pretty good still. And when we're ahead, no, he doesn't throw that much. But, he has thrown for yards when we're ahead by, 8 or more. What I'm trying to say here, and I think what we're both trying to say, is that, hey, Mason Fine's pretty good. The offense's pretty good.
Yeah, Mason Fine's good. He's good. The offense is clicking. We're doing the air raid is doing what the air raid's supposed to do, and that was evident last night with Kelvin Smith leading the pack with. I'm pulling up. I don't know if you got the stats already.
He had like 82 yards, 84 yards, something like that.
4 receptions, 82 yards. No touchdowns, unfortunately. But yeah. I mean, getting that first touchdown or his touchdown of the game was incredible.
Yeah, he mossed that dude. He mossed him. what was I going to say? Yeah, one thing that the box score doesn't have that like the live streaming one has that's pretty cool is like targets. So you can see in the game. Kelvin Smith was targeted 5 times and 4 were completed. I think Lawrence, Boosie, Guyton, everybody else had like probably 2 more targets than their passes caught. And or maybe just like even double. And Smith was like 4 or 5, Like he's a reliable target. And I've liked the dude ever since I saw him in the spring game, 2 seasons ago. He's a dude. He's a really good dude there at the Y. And we're seeing that. It's good to see him, lead the team for a game. So he has his name in the media guy there, like leaders by game. There it's Kelvin Smith receptions.
And I think, it feels like we haven't seen him this much yet, and we've been waiting for this. And I feel like, maybe they were holding back, maybe he was injured, but I want to see more of Kelvin Smith in order to improve our third down conversions.
Yeah. And, Mason Fine does most of his damage on first and second down. Mason Fine's numbers would be a little bit better if Jeffrey Wilson was only good and wasn't so great, And... That's why I'm happy with the way it is right now. Like if Fine keeps this pace up, he's gonna break some North Texas records, because the records are so low, and all that's good. That's good. It's good to see the promised offense, being here. Here we are now. It's official. North Texas is a good offense, and I don't really see anybody else on the schedule that can slow him down. UTSA is a good defense, but are they better than Iowa's? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they understand us better, but, you know, are they going to just shut everybody down?
I mean, I think Southern Miss's defense is pretty good numbers-wise. I haven't watched their games, but, you know, it's got that asterisk of they've played some bad teams, and so we don't know what to expect from them next week.
Yeah, Southern Miss plays a similar style of defense as everybody in the conference. Everybody plays like a 4-2-5, 4-3-3-5 kind of hybrid, and multiple. They all call themselves multiple. And, you know, like, the good news is that we practice against defense like that every week. And, you know, I think probably the best defense we're going to see is maybe Louisiana Tech's and or Louisiana Tech's and, like, UTSA's defensive line. Yeah, I feel good about it. Maybe we're not going to see probably 4-6 points a game. We're probably not going to see 500 yards, but I think we're going to see good enough offense the rest of the way, especially against, like, the Rices and stuff, because they're terrible. I feel good about that. I feel less good about the defense, though, and we already talked about that at length. So, let's see. How, man, Guyton Moss, that dude, man, that was pretty amazing. I just thought about
and
that.
And then broke some tackles and...
Yeah, awesome. He did. He put it on display. He's like, "Oh, look at his catch! Shake and bake." Walked through the arm tackle, dive into the end zone. yeah. By the way, yes, and I was just joking everybody on Twitter. I know that Jeff Wilson like bulldozed his way in into the end zone. I thought it was fun to see he walked.
Oh, he's backpedaling now.
So I was just saying, I was like, "Man, he just walked through that dude." Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, the special teams was good. Blocked kick.
Oh, yeah. Improved.
Yeah, that was great to see.
And then set us up for the game-winning field goal.
By the way, Jeff Wilson says, "I knew when I saw the front, I knew that play was going to work. It was just a matter of being patient on his 34-yard run." Yeah. We've been a player away from hitting one of those. Seth Achill says about the return game. We've been a player away from hitting one of those. Dang, I said the same thing too. Yeah, we need Evan Johnson out there. Apparently, Seth called special. He said, "This guy's going to be special." That was a good return there. That was a lot of, I think it was mostly the blocking than it was like the player, but I mean, what do I know? Good stuff. You said, you were at the game, so you saw like the halftime festivities. You
want to say? Oh yeah. So Abner Haynes was presented with the UNT Presidential Medal of Honor, I believe.
Yeah.
So it was great to see him there being honored, and you know, if no one's gone back to look at Abner Haynes' history, it's pretty interesting to see. You know, he broke the color barrier in NCAA football in Texas. I believe he was the first player to play. Mm-hmm. In college, but you know, even so, he still had issues having to break through the color wall. Other teams didn't want to play us. He still had to sleep in different quarters. So it's a very awesome tribute that he was given for somebody that is so quietly represented. You know, you hear about Minjo Green all the time, but you hardly ever hear about Abner Haynes. You know, he was Rookie of the Year in the AFL. Just all around greatness.
Yeah, that was a cool moment. I'm glad to see the university honor one of our own, one of our best. It's good stuff. Yeah, also this is like, you know, Champions Weekend. The Hall of Fame class was introduced. Josh White, soccer players, a bunch of people. I don't know all of them. You can go on to the site and kind of, I'm not going to talk about everybody out here on this hour show that we have today, congratulations to everybody. It was a good, cool weekend. It was a good time. I'm glad North Texas won. It was a good show. All of it was a plus. It was a positive.
Yeah, all the families, all the recruits that we were hosting, they were walking around all over the stadium.
Yeah, I think it was a good time. It was the best of North Texas football on display. What was attendance like? Is it 20,000? Did it look packed?
I was actually trying to Google that right now, but it looked like over 20,000. It was a good crowd.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I mean, 20,000 plus is about as good as North Texas can expect, and I don't think anybody should worry about that. I don't think there's any more room to get anybody with like promotions or anything like that. Like the bulk of it's going to come from a good team. North Texas wins at Southern Miss, right? And they come back and they're like, yo, we're 3-2. We're 3-2 and we have a big game against UTSA here on October 14th. That's how you get a bigger crowd. If you look at that 2013 year, the crowds were like, you get your big one on the home opener, then, you know, slowly but surely we see bigger and bigger crowds. And I think the UTEP game, which was like November, the one before the UTSA game, was a huge crowd. It was pretty, yeah, and then you're like, wow, that was pretty intense. The UTSA one, the final game of the season, wasn't so great, but that was also when it was like -3 degrees outside. Like, I was there at the game, and I didn't want to be there. I was like, why am I not at home watching this game from the comfort of my couch instead of wearing eight layers here and still freezing to death?
My one-year-old was there.
You know, it's cheating. They have, like, parents to give them body heat. Nobody was holding me. Somebody needed to hold me. Maybe I would have been more comfortable.
All you have to do is ask.
Somebody hold me. But, yeah, I mean, like, the circumstances around that game were pretty special for us. We can't just look at that UTSA game. Okay, so there's attendance talk. I don't really like talking about attendance too much, or else you just start arguing with the same people about the same things. And then somehow, some way, you start talking about somebody sending an email and the right way to send an email. And I don't want to do that.
Well, just to cap this off, the attendance stuff off, I think the huge new battle flag that they put up helped attendance.
Is it cool? I mean, I really didn't want the battle flag, like the whatever. I didn't choose. I didn't vote for that one, but I'll support it. It is cool. It's cool to have a giant flag. Who doesn't love a giant old flag out there flying around? You know?
I mean, it was cool. We were approaching from Bonnie Bray, for those of you familiar with the area, and you could see it from way out there. The thing is huge. It's like car dealership huge. And it looks awesome just waving out there. It was a good ad, and I appreciate the trying to add to the spirit of the game. I don't know if y'all saw it on TV.
No, they didn't really show it or talk about it. Speaking of TV, Donovan McNabb was good as the color commentary guy when he was talking about things that he knew about. Like when he's talking about like where to place a ball or how to throw or what to be impressed by or this, that kind of thing. That was good. What was bad was that he called Jalen Guyton Nate Brooks. Everybody kind of confused everybody. I think the play-by-play dude mispronounced Jalen Guyton's name after pronouncing it correctly. He was like, Guyton. It was weird. He was like practicing it during the game. Also, he didn't know what happened. He was like, oh, it was Mason Fine sacked when it was clearly an incomplete pass. Like, he threw it past the line of scrimmage and the ball went down. And he's like, and you know, so-and-so from UAB in on that sack. I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Other than that,
they were distracted by the flag.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, maybe. My wife was like, do you think it's like the sucky play-by-play guys get, you know, they get on BN Sports, like the lower tier ones. They don't get to be the ESPN game of the week. Or is it that the production, like it's not ESPN, makes it harder to do anything? You are your own spotter or something like that. Or you have to do too many things, and so you don't get to do good play-by-play. Like ESPN has like five guys, like guy reading your stats, guy preparing the next ad, and you're just like, man, what a great play. What do you think?
I mean, I think it's column A, column B. I was watching the SMU game on ESPN, and the production was good, but the commentators were not great. And I think it's more about, you know, you got to work your way up if you want to do the bigger games. And so that's why you got these kinds of guys commentating on these games.
Yeah, I will say, at least it isn't the local guys for the UTSA game. I'm here in San Antonio. Mean Green Nation headquarters is in San Antonio for the time being. And after the game, I'm writing up the recap, like, oh my God, what a great game. And I flip through the channels to see any Conference USA games on, and there's UTSA. I'm like, cool, let me put it on here. Those guys are bad because they're like the local sports, you know, like TV sports guys. And so they have just their crutch phrases, you know, like, oh, he drilled him in the backfield. Like, that's great when it's a 30-second highlight of the game, but everybody got drilled on the, you know, like, that's all he had. It's the only adjective he had. And, yeah, sure, I'm sure it's hard. I'm sure it's hard and blah, 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 but I'm sure that I didn't enjoy it also. You know, I was like, you know, I was not even really paying attention. My wife also, she's a good gauge for this kind of thing. She's like, what did that guy just say? He sounds stupid. And I was like, well, there it is, you know? even the person who's not super invested in it thinks it's dumb.
Yeah, I usually just mute the game.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. So anyway, there's BN Sport review. They were good. It was fine. The production was fine. It's good. It was HD. I can see stuff happening. They had some other camera angles except for the fumble that was not a fumble but was called a fumble.
I could see it. I saw straight through the hole, and I was like, oh, he's still up. He's breaking that tackle. Awesome. He's doing great. And then he was held up for like that half second. I was like, get down, get down, get down. And then you could see he got hurt on that tackle.
Yeah.
And he went down, and I didn't even see the football. And then they got up and said, we got it. And I think they lied.
All right. So we had a 30-14 lead. I feel good about that. And I think I'm going to just kind of like mentally pause there and keep that as the margin. Everything else in that second half was really strange. And, you know, I feel like North Texas is going to get better from this. I really like to see them do better, completing, playing a full game, being more consistent, little things like the fumbles. Those can be cleaned up.
I've got two observations on offense. And for the second half that I noticed, with Nick Smith, I mean, we've only seen him a few times this season. And whenever we. He's a shifty dude, but the handoff, it's always an inside handoff. And, you know, he got one run for, I think he had like 40 total yards, but he had one run for 29 yards. So that means he had 8 handoffs, and so that means 7
handoffs
went for 11 yards.
Yeah.
So we need to do better about getting him into the game. You know, it's awesome that we get him into the pass game, but you know, don't make all of them be inside runs, because that's what they're looking for now.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I wonder if some of those things are just like timing, because it looks like obviously you can tell when there's a different guy back there. Some of it's just timing. I think sometimes Nick Smith is probably trying to attack the hole, and I mean, I just read you a quote where Jeff was talking about being patient. It takes some time, you know, it takes some reps to get the patience required to and, you know, just understanding what you're lying, like knowing when to run. I think Jeff Wilson does a good job now of not going full speed when he gets a handoff. You know, he's going the appropriate speed, and then he, you know, he makes puts a foot in the ground and attacks the hole. And Nick Smith is maybe kind of figuring it out. But that 29-yard run was a good run. I mean, he showed some speed. He's not Willie Ivory, but he's pretty good.
Yeah. My second observation was that whenever we did have big runs, these guys, Mason Fine, Nick Smith, Jeffrey Wilson, had humongous holes to run through, especially on the outside. They were clearing out lanes for them like no other. And so that was awesome to see that we were finally getting the run game clicking.
Yeah, so what is it? UAB only had 1 sack. Yeah. And I want to bring that up because last year, North Texas was awful. We gave up a lot of sacks. And let me see, this year, sacks allowed. North Texas is 8th. We've only allowed 9 sacks, which is not great. You're like, that's not great. Well, last year we had allowed 43. It was like 3.5 sacks a game. Now it's about 2. So down a sack a game. And also, you know, it's just better. Like Mason Fine doesn't look hurt all the time. It's one thing to allow a sack, like an occasional, you know, line breakdown, somebody gets through. But I think alongside that, what I don't have when I'm not reading to you is like the QB hurries and all those things. Like Mason Fine is not rushing in the pocket, and the line is keeping them clean. And those two things in combination have, you know, been the main ingredients to getting this offense to to move up and down the field.
Yeah, that's what, 250 yards a game, good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's basically it. Like last year, I remember Seth Luttrell talking about like, well, all these sacks are not on the offensive line. Some of it, we got to get the ball out. So, you know, they work together. Like the quarterback gets freaked out, like, oh, I'm gonna die every play. Let me, you know, try to make a play or whatever. And then the line is, you know, trying to block and know that they have to block for a long time. Whatever, all of it works together. I just wanted to point out that North Texas is better, getting better, protecting the quarterback, opening up lanes, gigantic, cavernous holes for Jeff Wilson to run through. And that's great, man. Let's give our best dude the most opportunity to succeed. Jeff Wilson's been great. What else do we have to talk about in this about this game? 548 offensive yards on 73 plays. That's 7.5 yards per play. That's pretty amazing. You want to seven yards per play is good. It's like right where you're aiming for, you know. I think the pass yards were something like 9, which is great. You want like 7.
It was amazing. Yeah.
We punted well the two times we punted. We hadn't punted for a while. We slowed down really in the second half, like we said. Time of possession. Do you care about this? We had the ball for 31 minutes.
I do care about that, especially compared to last week when we only had it for 19 minutes. So it's a 11-minute swing, and that accounted for, you know, 20, 30 more points.
Yeah. First quarter, 6 minutes. Second quarter, 10 minutes. Third and fourth quarters, 7 minutes. 7 minutes and a half. We pretty much split it right down the middle in the second half. 6 of 13 on third downs. UAB was 12 of 19. Oh, my God. I hate looking at that.
yeah, that hurts. That's why it does hurt.
That's exactly what is killing us here. One more time, UAB rushing stats. The Shannon Brown, is that his name? 17 carries, 51 yards. And I think his longest. Yeah. Spencer Brown, yeah. His longest was 6. North Texas did a great job bottling everybody up there. I think some of these numbers here, because they had 122 yards, but then we sacked Erdley for, you know, 43 yards or tackled him in the backfield, whatever you want to call it. So that kind of adjusted there. But still, 122 yards is better than the 265 they were averaging. And, you know, it comes out as a net 74. And I know you're like, well, that should be put on the passing yards, whatever. The numbers are the numbers. We did well. We didn't do well stopping them on the pass. 321 yards. 17 of 36. We did intercept the ball, though.
So last week, UAB was sitting at 256 yards per game, and now this week, we dropped him down to 209.
Dang, the magic of us. Averaging, where are we at now? Rushing yards again? I think we're the lead team now, right? No,
we're at second still, at 226. UTSA jumped up to 248 after their beating down of Texas State.
Yeah, I forgot they had 357 against Texas State.
Told you.
They did blow them out, but it was like 14 to 10 or something like that in the second quarter. It could have been closer. And then, I think UTSA just, ran. It was like 30 to 14, and they got two late touchdowns where they just were gashed for, 70 yards while UTSA was trying to run the clock out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the takeaway is North Texas is the most efficient team right now on offense in Conference USA, and you give North Texas the opportunity and they will take it.
Yeah, I like it. We can run the ball and we can throw the ball, and I like all of that. I feel good about this team, especially the offense. And I think here's the deal. I think things are going to improve defensively. Not only is there a road game coming up, but there's a bye week. So there's two more weeks to improve here. And I think we're going to learn some things. Everybody's going to pause. We're going to look at the numbers. We're going to look at the film and say, let's improve this, and that. And I think we may see more Eric Jenkins out there, which will be good. Also, Bryce English is going to come back for the UTSA game, probably. Maybe, hopefully. Are you like listening into the wind there? Is that what's going on?
I was just checking out something. Yeah, I really want to see Bryce English. Want to see what he can do with this already great defensive line. Sid Moore has, Greg pointed out on Twitter that Sid Moore has been so improved, and yeah, nobody saw this coming. I didn't see this coming, and
yeah, that's been a boon. Yeah, he had 4 QB hurries. I don't know. I wanted to tweet that, and that might have got stuck in drafts too. Sid Moore did. He had 4 QB hurries, which is huge. And if you wanted to kind of say, well, show me an example one. Well, if you go back to the film, to the game, and you see right before UAB scores a touchdown, right? That final one on the swing pass. The play before, they tried to run something similar where Early was dropping back, kind of rolling out to the right, and Sid Moore rushes in there and forces him to throw the ball quickly and forces an incompletion. That's what we want. It's how we design it. It's how we draw it up. That's why QB hurries are important. But the next play, they score. So we're like, well, Roderick Young had 4 QB hurries. That's what I was thinking of. Sid Moore, he didn't have any hurries. I misspoke. Roderick Young had 4 QB hurries. Sid Moore played well. Let's mix them up. What else? Who else is good on defense? Are you a fan of EJ Ajayi out there? Everybody else is.
For sure. I mean, you always hear his name being called out.
Yeah, he's been good. Muhammad's been good. Josh Wheeler didn't have. I know he got hurt. He was a liability in the past game last week, but he was good this week. He got in on some tackles. He made some plays. Yeah, he had 2 sacks, obviously. Good stuff from him. Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. I was watching him out there, pointing out 18 Wheeler to the wife. And he was like, man. She was like, that's so appropriate.
Did she think you were clever there? It's like, wow, you're clever. I'm glad I married you. Coming up with clever things like that. I mean, 2/3 of the defense is good. Is that what we want to say? Like first down, second down, and then bad on third down? That's really it. I feel good about the defense, but then I shouldn't. And then I look at the stats, I'm like, yeah, I shouldn't. But I do.
So tentative.
Yeah, it's like the last part that needs to click into place. And I'm still hopeful. Maybe it's because it's coming off a win and it's September still. I'm hopeful that this is fully completed and like we feel good about this later on. Like it's going to fall into place. And, you know, I think it can. I think it can and will. I think by the time we get to some of these other teams, these more terrible teams, we will have put that together and figured out a way to, you know, stop the bleeding. You think so?
I just want to score more than everybody else.
That's a good part. It's like, I'm less concerned about the defense if they don't have to be every and anything, you know? Like, last year we were like, well, if the defense allows any points, it's over. We even needed the defense to score some touchdowns. But, Yeah.
I don't want this to turn into dodgeball, but this doesn't feel like dodgeball.
No, dodgeball was, I mean, the kind of dodgeball you're thinking about was against was in 3 games, right? It was like against Western Kentucky and Navy. And outside of that, it was just bad. It was just bad football the rest of the time. But I see your point. I mean, hey, if we win every week 46-43, I'll take it. That's fine. But yeah, I'd rather win like 40-20, 40-30, 34-24. Good stuff. We got good players. Here's hoping Jeff Wilson gets 1,000 yards and doesn't get hurt. Here's hoping that Mason Fine throws for 4,000 yards this season.
He's already gone over 1,000, so there's that.
Yeah, we're about 1/3 of the way in, so he's probably gonna get about 3,000. I don't know. I feel like he has another 400-yard game in him.
I mean, last year, through 10 games, he got 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
So already in 4 games, he's over, 2/3 of the way there.
Yeah. I mean, see, I think this is pretty typical. If you look at, like, a generic air raid kind of progression, You kind of average them, even the bad air raid teams and the good air raid teams. Obviously, the good air raid teams with better recruits, they kind of have a shorter curve. But it's like you have a bad season where you throw a lot of picks, or you kind of have a lot of almost, you know, like short passes. And then the next one, you're like, well, they're putting it together. They average about 200 yards, 250, 270 yards a game. And then your third season, it's like 300, 350 yards a game. You're like, wow, this guy's amazing, right? He's throwing like 4 touchdowns a game. Look at this dude just slicing everybody up. And then if they stay beyond that, you maybe have like a Case Keenum, Graham Harrell type, you know, season where you're just like, this guy's going to throw for 70 touchdowns and, you know, 10 interceptions, something crazy like that. Those are the great ones, obviously. But you kind of see my point. Like, you know, you adjust for talent level. Mason Fine maybe, I don't know. Mason Fine could be a 30-touchdown dude in, like, his senior season. Like, you really could see that pretty easily. Yeah, I mean, he's already at 9. 9, 30.
He's on pace for 27.
Yeah, like, it's pretty easy to see that. Like, you see the progression he made from year 1 to year 2. Year 2 to year 3, like, he gets to put it all together. And, you know, he has maybe better talent out wide, you know, that kind of thing.
I want to do one final shout out to Trevor Moore for winning the game with his 3 field goals.
Yeah, 4 field goals. 4 field goals.
4 field goals.
Including the game winner. Yeah, he had 3 in the fourth quarter. Trevor.
And shame on the coaches for trying to get too cute.
Where did they try to get too cute?
On the PATs.
Oh, weird stuff. Whatever, man. I don't know what they're trying to do out there, but I do like any. I think somebody tweeted, was it Rogers? This kid Rogers, Austin Rogers. He was like, yeah, any game that comes down to Trevor Moore's leg, I feel comfortable with. Yeah, me too. I feel good about that, and I tried not to jinx it and think that out loud, but whatever. wait, we got a question. Our ESPN FPI went down. By the way, FAU is heavily favored over us. Please explain this. I think it's something along the lines of FAU playing okay. They scored like they ran for like 200 and some yards last game. I think that they don't think we can stop their offense, and we are in Boca Raton. I think that's
they
what comes
down to. Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe in FAU, but I think the way that they're looking at it is like, well, North Texas didn't do so well against a UAB team. That should be worse. Like, a good team would beat UAB really badly. That's their thinking. And also, FAU can score. They have a good offense. You know, they're like, they can run the ball, and, you know, they can pass. I think if you look at the stats, FAU is pretty high up there. The conference statistics, am I right here? Let me see. Scoring offense, where's FAU? They are 6th at 27 a game. The rush offense, FAU is 3rd at 211 yards a game. Pass offense, they are 10th at 189. I think it's more, that's really the deal. Scoring defense, FAU is 7th. Rush defense, FAU is last, 259 yards a game. I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to. I don't know why they're heavily favored, but I haven't taken a look at what you call it. But
I don't know. I mean, in football study hall, they're ranked at 88. Well, we're sitting at 103. I guess they're just efficient and explosive when they get the opportunity, but they're 1-2 and or whatever they are.
Yeah. I mean, a note about like all the rating systems. When you're looking at any of those things, you have to know that as the season begins, a good chunk of that is preseason expectations. So whatever people thought FAU was going to be heavily weighs into what they are ranked at now. So you know, like that's basically what you consider there. As the season moves on, it's more based on what actually happened. So, like, your week 13 FPI will probably be more accurate than the week 1 was. I don't know. I don't really like to look at those as the end-all, be-all. You look at like a handful of them. I think every week when I do the previews, I like to look at all five of them, like the Massey ones, the Sagarin ones, the SRS, the S&P Plus, and then the ESPN FPI. You get an idea, or in the FEI too, you get a good idea of what everybody kind of thinks, which ones kind of give more weight to certain aspects of the game and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, most of it's based on stats, and you gotta combine stats and film. Florida Atlantic, and here's an explanation for it. Florida Atlantic is last in the conference for time of possession at 23 minutes.
Yeah.
So the way to explain it is to say that every time FAU gets the ball, they do something with it. Yeah. But they only get the ball for 23 minutes. Their defense is terrible. So that means our offense will take advantage of that stat right there. They're calling it.
Yeah, there it is. So yeah, I mean, hey, what does North Texas need to improve on? Pass defense, and that will go a long way to you know, to turn this thing around. But it's heading in the right direction. This week, Southern Miss. We have like five more minutes in this thing before everybody gets bored and they hate us. Quickly talk about Southern Miss. Ito Smith is good. He's real good. He's probably one of the only running backs that I would say is better. Like, if you say you can trade Jeff Wilson for any other running back in a conference, I wouldn't trade him for anybody, I don't think. But maybe I'd think about taking Ito Smith. Just the dude is good. I think it's maybe just a one-for-one swap. Yeah? Yeah, would you say that?
These colors don't run, sir.
You get my point. Is that, like, Ito Smith is probably as good or the only guy better than Jeff Wilson. I mean,
yeah, he's been performing lights out the past couple seasons.
Yeah, so we're actually gonna see a team that is similar in makeup. Southern Miss is probably more talented because they began their turnaround a couple seasons before North Texas did. You know, and then, like, I think the last time we were in Hattiesburg, North Texas got beat down. I think I was at a wedding then. I was checking the score and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, we got annihilated, but we couldn't move the ball back then. They were at 7 wins last year. They're pretty good on offense. The their quarterback's pretty good. I know you'd like to say that they suck, but
yeah. What I actually said was that I have some questions about the guy. Like, to this point, we haven't seen him perform that amazing against really good defenses. And then I was like, well, what about against Kentucky? I'm like, okay, one, he came into the game midway. Like, Kentucky didn't prepare for the dude. They don't know that the guy is. So he added a little bit of the element surprise there. Two, I mean, I still don't love his completion percentage. Like, I mean, if it's at 63, 65%, I'd be like, that's pretty good. But, you know, incompletions matter. When you throw some incompletions, that could change the game. That said, they got a good running back. They have a quarterback that can produce and has been producing. And that was a big question. It seems like he's an upgrade over Keon Howard last season, who was a turnover machine but had a lot of talent.
For sure. Yeah, like you said, the 58% we need to take advantage of. But otherwise, yeah, they pass a lot. They run a lot. They put up numbers. We need to slow that down.
Yeah, North Texas, I mean, last year when they didn't have a quarterback, North Texas beat them here in Denton. Going on the road, that gives them an advantage. This is a game we're not going to be favored in, and that's okay. This is a statement game. It's Southern Miss is not so good that North Texas can't win this game. Like, last year, Western Kentucky and Louisiana Tech, I was like, you know what? Everything just has to fall right. Also, a miracle needs to happen. Like, three other quarterbacks need to be injured. Then North Texas maybe have a shot. They were just so much more talented, so much better coached, so much more of a cohesive team that we were just not ready for those. Southern Miss, I don't know if they're that team yet. They had a dip when the new coach Jay Hobson came in last season. When Mullins was down or when he was injured, they struggled. Even when he was in, they struggled a little bit. So, you know, I don't know what this team is this season. I don't like their schedule. What they play, Kentucky and Southern, and mm-hmm. Who else?
That's it.
They played somebody else. I don't know. They had a schedule. They played people. Let me see. I'm looking at something else.
Here. Oh, Monroe.
Yeah, Louisiana Monroe. I mean, Kentucky was probably, they were the toughest team they played there, and I don't know how I felt about that. So I feel like we don't really know too much about Southern Miss. Like, actual, like, they haven't been really tested. We haven't seen them play a team that is on their level and then they had to compete with, you know. Like, Kentucky, it's easy to get, like, even with Iowa for us, it's easy to get hyped for Iowa. It's easier to bring your best out for Iowa because they're the best. Do you do the same, you know, like, when a team's at your level? Like, you know what I mean? So I mm-hmm. thought what UAB did was pretty impressive. So North Texas can win. They're not favored to win. If they don't win, I don't think we get upset about everything, but we should, you know, this is going to be a good game. It's on ESPN3, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think Griggs will probably get around, I hate to say this, but around 300 yards passing, about 3 touchdowns. We'll hold Ito Smith to less than 100 yards.
Oh, man, that's the hottest hot take. What did he have last year against us? Didn't he have a decent game?
Yeah, probably close to 100 yards. Let me see real quick. It was 113 yards.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be similar to that game. He's so good. He's a lot of their offense. And it'll be interesting to see what we do to come up with that. I think the big change this year, this next week, is I think we're gonna start Eric Jenkins. And, I mean, that's going to do a couple things. One, put a guy that's right now playing better than the guy he's replacing out there. And two, it's going to make a very good cornerback in Nate Brooks play better. I mean, I think he already liked a couple tweets. I was like, Nate Brooks got beat on a double move. Oh, look, they got him again. Nate Brooks got beat, and he liked him. What is that? I don't know what that does, but, I mean, hey, you take whatever motivation you need to get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows, everybody knows, that's not the best. And it's way off his standard. Nate Brooks is a good cover corner and has played much better than he has been playing. And I'd like to see him return to that level. And I think he would like to see himself return to that level. And I don't think he likes being benched. And hopefully that spurs him to return to that level where he's a potential all-conference cornerback out there. We'll see.
Yeah, he's got to, you know, take this benching and run with it. Just wake up and do your job.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way of things, right? Just get better. I mean, last year he intercepted. Did he have two? He definitely had one interception on, and he covered Alonzo Staggers really well all game. He was step for step, stride for stride with that dude. And then he got a big interception late in the game. So let's see more of that. I feel good about next week, although I'm not expecting a win. Let's see. What's my reaching to my wish could happen? I hope Mason Fine throws for 458 yards and Jeff Wilson goes for 250, you know? In an easy stroll in the park out there in Hattiesburg.
Yeah, I want to see us explode. I mean, this was a good test on the road against a conference foe.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, if anybody's going to travel out there, go down to Laurel and go to – he's not a North Texas alum, but he is currently in the doctoral program, whatever that is. He's right – I mean – you know, he's one of those guys writing his dissertation from all parts of the world. But he has ties to North Texas. And also, I don't know how he's going to write his dissertation while he's doing this. He owns, like, the coffee portion of Lee's Coffee and Teas in Laurel, Mississippi. So if you're there and you have time to go drive around, go down there and go get some coffee. Support my friend Dell. So there's that. There you go. That's free advertising. This is valuable stuff, Adele. I hope you're listening right now. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're done. Thank you for listening to the people that are listening live. I saw we had some live listeners, and we had some live tweets. Appreciate that. And everybody listening on the podcast, thanks for listening. Don't forget to like it or leave a review. Tell me how great I am. You can tell Aldo. You can tell any criticism to me about Aldo because I don't think he can take it. He can't take it if you tell him to his face.
Just tell me how right I've been this whole season.
I mean, yeah, you've been pretty on. You're like, we're gonna lose against SMU and we're gonna beat Iowa by 40. And I mean, If that is being right, I guess.
Give and take.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.